Welcome to the Healthcare IS podcast, where we tackle today's challenges in the health IT workforce. Broadcasting live from Sacramento, California, here's your host, David Cushon.
Hi, everyone. This is David Cushon, managing partner of Healthcare IS. Welcome and thanks for joining and listening to our podcast today. We're very much looking forward to our sixth episode. Really quickly, let me tell you what we have in store. Number one, we're going to go to our regular tip segment where we're going to discuss the difference between contracting as a generalist or a specialist and what some of the pros and cons are in those two areas and what might work best from what we've seen in constantly working as a contractor. And then secondly, we're going to go to our interview segment. We're going to be speaking with Jerry Queen today. Jerry has been a little bit different here. Jerry's on the health insurance payer IT side. He's been in that marketplace for the last 25 years on the payer IT side. He's been a consultant for 11 of those years, and Jerry's going to share some of his insights in regards to consulting as a whole. He's been an employee of a consulting firm as well as been an independent consultant, and he's going to share what he feels to be the pros and cons of both of those. So we feel like we've got a podcast here that's full of a lot of information that'll be helpful to all of you, and we're very anxious to get started. Okay, so with that, let's roll over to our tip section for today. Okay, welcome to our tip segment for the podcast today. Today we're going to talk about what's better as a contractor, to be a generalist or a specialist. What we find quite a bit from many of the consultants, the contractors that we do work with, is one of their top priorities, of course, is to stay as marketable as possible and to constantly have the type of background and skills that will keep them floating very smoothly from one contract to the next. Many consultants that we speak with think that having a broad range of skills, a diversified skill set, is actually going to be more appealing for them or appealing for them to stay gainfully employed with many different contracts. You know, however, what we found in terms of being employed and consistently having contracts, doing the opposite is actually a better strategy. When a hospital is looking to engage the services of a consultant, they want to bring in the best consultant they can find for the specific project they have, and more importantly, for the specific tasks that need to be done with the role they're trying to fill on a particular project. So if an organization is looking for someone with a particular area of Cerner experience, they're not going to really be, they're not going to find experience away from Cerner to be appealing or something that's going to influence them to hire a particular individual. They're going to be looking for someone who has a very solid track record of doing the specific task for other clients successfully that they're looking to bring in. So what we found is it's important to not get too diverse. So one of the concepts that I talk about with people is it's not about having the type of skill set that will make you available to interview for 8 or 9 different projects. People feel like if they're able to have their consultant profile sent out to many different engagements, that will lead to a higher likelihood of actually getting an engagement. The concept that I tell people is you would be better off at any given time you're looking for a new contract to have your profile sent to 3 different projects where you have a 90% likelihood of being chosen for the particular contract because of how strong your background is in that specific area, as opposed to maybe having your background or your consultant profile sent to 5 or 6 contracts where maybe you only have a 20% likelihood of being chosen for the particular project. You know, remember in consulting that only one person's going to get a particular engagement or a particular role. It may be true that several projects out there will hire multiple people, but they're generally hiring a person per role. And what you need to do is manage your career in such a way that when you're looking for a contract, when you interview for that position, you have a very, very high likelihood, 90% rate of being the person selected. Coming second place multiple times still leaves you without a contract. So as a recap, from our experience, we found that having a very specific niche space, having a particular area where you can develop a track record where clients are going to unarguably begin to look at you as an expert is the best way to gain and maintain your stability of employment in the contracting world. But number two, you always got to be on the lookout for what's next. You have to start recognizing when your particular area of expertise might be fading out, or it might be changing, or what the new phase is with whatever department you happen to serve from a technology standpoint within the hospital. Okay, welcome back. We are now at our interview segment for our podcast today. Doing things a little bit different today. We're in our second podcast as it relates to talking with consultants who can give an impression of the differences between working for a consulting firm as well as being an independent consultant. What's a little different is we have a guest today who I've known for quite a while, just about 17, 18 years. His name is Jerry Queen. Jerry comes from more of the health insurance payer side of healthcare, where many of our guests in the past have been more on the hospital provider side. Jerry has 25 total years experience working in the payer IT space. He's worked for three different health plans over that time, spanning 14 years. He's also worked in consulting in different capacities for 11 years. He primarily provides his expertise in operational management, configuration management, system integration, as well as operational leadership for payers in that IT area. So with that, Jerry, welcome to the podcast today.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for being here. Just to get started, as we'd mentioned, our series is in line with trying to have our listeners get a better perspective on consultants who've been at it for a while. And preferably, I'm trying to talk to people who've worked both for consulting firms as well as done independent contracting on their own. I kind of mentioned in the intro that you've been doing consulting on and off for about 16 years. That's correct, right?
Yeah, Dave. About 16 years, mid to late 90s is when I ventured into the consulting space, and spent a good chunk of time there off and on, and got my feet back wet in the employee space at a period of time. But about that long.
All right. All right. Good. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you onto our podcast is I'm looking for things that are different perspectives and have people that start and get into consulting in different ways. And as many people get into consulting, joining a firm, I know that you originally started more as an independent contractor. Tell me a little bit about what attracted you to consulting originally in that type of an independent type role.
Well, you know, I'd have to say, as an employee, I got the opportunity to work with a couple of consultants that I had looked up to and have actually become, important people in my leadership, mentorship-wise. And I was sort of intrigued with it in a couple capacities, one of which it just seemed like an opportunity to make a difference in a different capacity versus just an employee. The second part, I had understood at the time and still do, you can make a reasonable amount of income in a shorter period of time. And so that afforded me a little bit more flexibility schedule-wise, as well as I was able to do a little bit of travel within those roles, which I enjoyed at the time. You know, a variety of things, but they were all very attractive to me. And at my point in my life, I was very interested in trying something different as I had been with my second healthcare organization at that point in time. So I was looking for a different opportunity.
Okay, good. Good. Thanks for explaining that. It sounded like there are a couple of different reasons, many of which I've heard before, that got you more into in consulting as a whole, and particularly in the independent side. I know that after being an independent contractor for a while, you didn't transition over a period of time to begin working at a consulting firm. Can you think back for me and tell me a little bit about what led to that transition, or what were some of the key things that were playing a role in you taking that direction?
Sure. Well, you know, when I think back, at least to the initial time where I went from an independent to joining a firm, I was actually working independently for a firm, which sounds a little strange, but I had developed some relationships with a few firms while being independent, and had finished up a couple of engagements and was on the hunt for my next engagement, one of which was through a firm. So it sort of afforded me the opportunity to work with that firm. But in realizing, even with doing independent work for that firm, as an independent person, I wasn't necessarily given a largest amount of work because the cost for the firm was greater for them to have me work independently for them versus having me work for them as an employee. And so at the time, it kind of made sense because I had good relationships with them as well. And, you know, there were things like benefits and vacation time and, you know, training, just various things that you get the opportunity to have as a, as an employee of a firm that seemed attractive at the time, as well as filling up my, you know, essentially dance card, if you will, with work. So it was attractive at the time, and, you know, it worked out really well.
Okay, good, good. I've heard you say, and I don't want to digress too much here, but I think I've heard you say at the time a number of times in terms of at that time in your career, maybe the ability to have more consistent work, the benefits, the training. It sounded like you had a relationship with this consulting firm. As you're here a number of years later, what are some things that are maybe different for you today that don't make those particular attributes of working with a consulting firm as attractive? I mean, I happen to know that you're now back in an independent consulting role, but what are some of the things that have changed over time or some of the perspectives that you've seen make you look at things a little bit differently today?
Well, you know, it's the grass is always greener, you know, that whole perspective of things from your perspective. If you haven't worked for a firm, it's easy for someone to kind of buy into what the firms are offering. And if those are gaps, you know, as an independent that, you know, say for instance, vacation time and, having a, you know, full amount of work and so on, they seemed attractive because I was struggling at that time with a couple of those attributes. So, but you know, over time I've realized that, you know, there are ways to work through that as an independent, where it's not so critical. Things like benefits, you can buy benefits now. It's easy to do. Vacation time, it's a matter of planning. All of these things are just, you know, require a lot of forethought. And at the time, I probably was younger in my career, so I've learned a lot since then and learned how to balance that out. And so being an independent isn't as scary, I guess, because I've planned it out. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How about, you know, one of the other things you mentioned was the not getting as much work sent to you. Now at that time you described primarily getting most of your work through this company, even though you were an independent, consultant. And of course you'd mentioned they added most of their work to their own employees first, which makes sense if it's lower cost to that firm. What are some things or can you tell me some strategies or just things you do differently today than you did back then as an independent consultant to make sure that you have more consistent work available to you when you want it?
Well, what I've learned over the years, Dave, is, you know, having a strong network within the industry and knowing where the work is and knowing how to plan that out, it's really essentially establishing a pipeline and keep relationships strong. So that you know, there's a better chance of alignment with your availability as an independent, as well as that aligns with the client's particular need at the time, which is a critical component because there's budgets and, you know, initiatives and strategy that clients struggle with. So while there's a lot of work that could be done, they're not necessarily going to be signing up for stuff unless it makes sense for them at the time. So it's all about alignment, and most things don't align, in my experience. So you have to plan for that and have a better hit rate of something aligning when your availability is there. So, yeah, almost like fishing, I guess, and throwing more lines out, you know. the more bait you have out there, the more chance you're going to have a fish, I suppose.
Sure, sure. Now, can you elaborate when you say networking and building that network? Some of that's just going to come with time, of course. I don't think anybody who's listening, who's been in business, you know, had a career for just a couple of years, will have had the time to build the type of network you're talking about. You're somebody who's been in the industry now for 25 years. But is there anything looking back that you did strategically to build the network, or is it just something that, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years later, 8 years later, when you got back into consulting, you had just established more contacts that are making it a lot easier for you this time around?
Well, I think there is definitely a strategy to it. Just knowing somebody over time doesn't necessarily create a network. I think it's important to maintain connections, and even if it's just a couple minutes a year, for instance. I chat with you, I don't know, once or twice a quarter or something to that effect. It's good to catch up, but it's also good to keep people, you know, front of mind, and people aware of your name with a potential opportunity. Part of my strategy to try to answer your question is just to maintain contact in some form or fashion with the right people in your organization that align with the potential opportunity that I can provide services.
Yeah, that's a great point. In doing what I do within our firm and as a managing partner, having a role in bringing in new business, day to day, I'm always reaching out to people to maintain a relationship. But many people devalue how powerful that can be when they're in a role like you, how just reaching out to somebody once a quarter, saying hi and staying on the top of their mind may have them remember you if the right situation occurs, but they absolutely won't think of you if they haven't, you know, been in touch with you with, you know, in a year or longer than that. So that makes a lot of sense. Tell me, knowing what you know now, how you got started, you personally know the differences between working for a firm, being an independent consultant. Let's say there's somebody out there with 15, 16 years of experience, they have a knowledge base and a skill set that is in demand that can be offered as a consultant. What would you say is best for the average person, starting with a consulting firm, or do they have the ability to go directly into independent contracting? What's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, I think it's going to depend on the individual's degree of tolerance for a little bit of risk. I think that's to some degree, if folks are risk averse, for instance, and they're worried about, how am I going to pay my bills? Maybe going with a firm is probably a little bit more appetizing. But if you've got an individual who has is well seasoned in being able to, you know, tolerate the ebb and flow of revenue, you know, as it relates to engagements, then, I would more likely recommend somebody to give the independent route a shot. I find it to be very valuable to be independent because I'm not necessarily beholden to a particular position or a particular set of opinions, which isn't a bad thing if you are. It's just that sometimes there's a little bit more flexibility when you can think freely as a professional. And I think clients like that versus knowing what the firm's position is on something. So I kind of like it. Having been in both positions over the years, preference, even with all the benefits, if you will, that come along with being part of a firm, I just prefer the independent route.
Maybe to summarize that, when you just say something like, with all the benefits of working for a firm, you like the independent route, what would you say for you are the top two things that you enjoy most? You know, what are the top two benefits you receive personally from being an independent consultant?
Well, one of the big topic is being able to pick the opportunity. When working with firms, oftentimes they pick the choice that they want you in. It may not necessarily align with the things you like to do. It may not even be in the location you like to go, which has been my experience sometimes. And so I like the ability to pick the opportunity. And then I have to say it's probably pretty obvious, is the fact that typically when you're working for a firm, they've got to make a margin. And I can't blame them. They've got to be in business. But it's been my experience that clients would prefer to have a more competitive rate, wouldn't they all? And I just find it's easier on the client as well as yourself, because it's a win-win. Client may get a lesser rate, and you get more money. So at the end of the day, I think, to kind of close that one up, those are my top two reasons.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. Those tend to be high on the list of reasons why people do evolve into being independent contract consultants if they have transitioned over from a consulting firm. And I appreciate you sharing that with the listeners. You know, lastly, if there was someone out there who has kind of decided that taking more of the independent route is ideal for them, you know, there's someone that's already said, okay, this is for me, I'm going to go in that direction. As someone who's been doing this for quite a while, what's a couple of key points you might make or suggestions you could give to someone that maybe they're just not thinking about, or a couple of key points that by mentioning it today might help them be more successful in the independent route?
Well, I think one of the key things that I've had to teach myself over the years is timing is everything. So relax. The opportunities are typically there. You just got to put the time in to find the opportunities. And the second probably big point is, managing that network, as I spoke to, is an important factor, but enjoy it too. It's not like it's a task. I mean, there's a lot of information that you can learn and glean and realize what the marketplace is doing that'll give you foresight on and where you might take your own practice. It's a great opportunity. It does have its benefits. Can't be afraid to take a risk. It usually pays off, is I guess the advice I'd give to people. But relax and have fun with it.
Well, that's great. Jerry, thanks so much for sharing your insights and your experiences with our listeners today. I really appreciate it. That's going to wrap up about all the time we have. But again, Jerry, excellent insights. I know you personally. I appreciate you being a part of this. And I know you've shared a lot of information here that's going to be very, very valuable for people who are thinking about getting into consulting as a whole, and particularly into independent contracting. Thanks a lot for being with us today.
Absolutely. I sure enjoyed it. Thanks again for asking, Dave.
Great.
Take care.
Okay, that wraps up our interview. And with that, we're coming to the completion of our podcast. Remember to go online and take a look at the show notes on our blog. The blog can be found at healthcareis.com, www.healthcareis.com. Look for those show notes. We're certainly open and would love to have any recommendations or comments. Maybe put a post on that blog. Any advice you have for us or anything else you'd like to see in a future show. Don't forget to get connected with us on Google+. We're on Facebook. We've also got a Twitter feed. All of those are HealthcareIS. Check into those regularly to see constant updates for industry news, job opportunities we have, contract situations, and just an additional way to be in touch with HealthcareIS and anyone on our team. With that, we look forward to seeing you next month.